Welcome, welcome, beloved listeners, to LNL. The Soccer World Cup is considered the sports world's greatest tournament, so when a tiny, sweltering Middle Eastern country is chosen to host the event, questions begin to be asked, and we will ask them as well a little later with Roger McShane from The Economist and my colleague Tracy Holmes. Then later in the program, Beatrix Campbell wants to tell you about the death 40 years ago of her dear friend Buzz Goodbody and why we should know about the life of an extraordinary young woman. It wasn't so long ago that we told you the sad story of Jumbo, then the world's most famous elephant, his life and death as a circus star in the UK and then in the US. Well, tonight we have the story of another sad death of a vast elephant. Now, the bull elephants of southeastern Kenya are known as the great tuskers. Phenomenal in size. The males have tusks which are so long they finish up scraping the ground. So the confirmation this week of the death of Kenya's biggest elephant, called Satayo, one of the last great tuskers, is more than a local tragedy. There's been a spate of elephant slaughter from poachers over the past months. We've been reporting on this story, of course, for many years on the program. And wildlife experts agree the problem is even more serious than the official figures report. Paula Kahumbu is director of the Kenya Land Conservation Trust and executive director of Wildlife Direct. That's a Kenyan NGO devoted to putting an end to elephant slaughter. And she joins me now from Nairobi, where I understand you're in the middle of a quite spectacular storm, Paula.
We are, which is fabulous for Kenya. We always say that it's a blessing when it rains. Well, it hasn't rained for a long time, and we're expecting a massive famine, so this is good news.
I raise it because I'm talking to you from a drought-stricken part of Australia, so I envy you the rain, but not the loss, of course, of your extraordinary elephant. Tell us about his death and that of another legendary tusker, Mountain Bull.
Yeah. Well, it is very tragic, and Kenyans are really grieving about this. The killing of these massive tuskers, it basically threatens the entire tourism industry in Kenya. We know that elephants are being slaughtered for their ivory, which has been turned into trinkets and carvings for people far away in Asia, especially China, Vietnam, Thailand, and those kinds of countries. A mountain bull was a phenomenal animal who had become famous because his long-distance walk from Laikipia all the way up to the top of Mount Kenya became the evidence that we needed to protect the corridors for elephant movement. And this was done through radio tracking. A radio collar was around his neck. He was killed on Mount Kenya about a month ago.
Paula, forgive me interrupting.
I was just going to say that Satao was one of the last remaining really huge tuskers that the Kenyans have been trying to raise awareness about. There are about 12 of these large elephants left in the country. The Sabo Trust, an organization based out in eastern Kenya, together with the Kenya Wildlife Service, have been showing the world these photographs. And Kenyans and people around the world have fallen in love with them, and they visit Kenya to see these animals. So to hear that somebody like Satao has been killed, it's just heartbreaking.
And I understand that Paul Satayo died slowly, in that he had been wounded weeks earlier and before he was finally poisoned by arrows.
Very true. You know, a lot of the poaching across Africa is being done by very highly, heavily armed militias. Well, in this part of Kenya, the militias can easily be caught because you can hear the gunshots and there's a very heavy presence of armed wildlife personnel. So they use poisoned arrows. They use a traditional poison taken from native plants. It works usually very fast, but Satao was a huge animal. And so the poison worked very slowly through his body, caused horrendous suffering and wounds and, you know, internal infections, until eventually he died, you know, weeks later. It must have been the most gruesome, gruesome death.
Before we get on to the statistics, let me remind the listener of the observations of Mark Deeble, I know you know his work. He's a wildlife photographer who'd observed Sapwayo a lot, and he said that he was very intelligent and knew he had to protect his enormous tusks and that he hid in bushes so they couldn't be seen. Is that possible?
Yeah. You know, I studied elephants for my PhD, so I know elephants very well, and I can tell you they are incredibly intelligent, but they also seem to have an ability to sense things that we just don't understand. I've seen elephants behaving and interacting with people in a way that you just can't make sense of it. Both the cow and another massive elephant, whose name was Arthur, who died in the 70s, had what we call askaris, or watchmen, other big bulls who stayed with them to protect them. And it doesn't surprise me. Elephants have a brain 6 times the size of a human brain. Of course, they're going to be doing things that we don't understand.
And it seems to me, Paula, the one thing I've observed with elephants over a long life is that they seem to be more aware of death than most animals.
Yeah, you're totally right. It's horrendous what we observe after an elephant dies. The families and the friends of those elephants come back, and they sometimes try to raise them. They try to, you know, protect them. They will cover them up with bushes. They will chase away hyenas and other scavengers. And they seem to literally just stand there and mourn and grieve for the dead. Elephants are so like human beings. It's just unbearable what's happening.
So when I was extending my sympathy to you and to your country, we should also, of course, extend it to the extended family of the elephants. Now, Paula, you've been involved in the fight to save them since the 80s, and you were there, and we recall this image when Kenya's stockpile of ivory was burnt. It was a very powerful statement. But the latest figures from the UN reveal that 20,000 elephants were poached across the continent just last year, in 1 year.
Yeah, that's a minimum figure. I suspect it's higher than that. What we're seeing in terms of volumes of ivory leaving Africa are record-breaking, phenomenal, shocking statistics. What's really upsetting about this, we think of the poaching as some little man on the ground with a bow and an arrow. Well, it's not. This is organized crime. These are international criminal syndicates that are plundering Africa of elephants. It's like a war against elephants. And if we don't do something, address it at that level, international crimes and organized crimes, we will lose these animals. We will lose them from the wild across the entire continent.
Has there been any significant response at the other end of the story from China itself, where so many of the tusks finish up?
I can't tell you how disturbing it is about the lack of response from the Chinese. What we have is a government in China that is actually part of the problem, because they own a lot of ivory, they own the factories, and they are putting ivory into the market and encouraging Chinese people to value the fashion of ivory. As a result, the price of ivory is going up, and illegal ivory is being laundered into the legal market. I cannot understand that the whole world is standing by while one nation is threatening the entire species of African elephants.
It's all the more surprising, Paula, when in so many ways China wants to make, to influence Africa. You know, China wants to be friends with Africa in so many areas, but in this particular one, it's failing every test.
Well, China takes advantage of the divisions within Africa. What you often hear about is South Africa, Botswana, Namibia, and those countries asking for sale of their tusks for elephants that have been well managed. And China says, we're helping. We're trying to help them. They say they're going to use this money to protect their elephants. Well, it is not helping if the rest of Africa's elephants are being driven to extinction. True that Africa does need to sort out itself, but China is not helping. China is actually driving a massive wedge between the African countries. And I've received emails from West Africa from colleagues who are in tears about the loss of Sapwayo, because West Africa has largely lost all of their elephants. There are just tiny little pockets of elephants left there. They can't believe it's happening in East Africa now. They're just totally heartbroken about it.
The head of CITES, the Convention on International Trade of Endangered Species, said that the countries most heavily implicated in the ivory trade need to develop and implement national ivory action plans to tackle poaching, smuggling. You, of course, have been hearing this for most of your life.
totally. I mean, look, it's not rocket science. If you have a market for ivory, there will be an illegal market that goes along with it. The only time that elephants were safe in the last 30 years was when there was absolutely no international trade allowed. And that's the only solution that I can see that will work. CITES is a convention that is made up of nations that make those decisions. And those nations are sometimes driven to make decisions on political lines. You'll hear countries arguing for species that don't even occur in their borders. And it's purely political. They trade votes. It's just disgusting what is happening because we stand to lose one of the world's most magnificent species because of politics.
Yes, we do. And this tragedy comes at a time when Kenya is hoping to show the world its conservation efforts at the UN Environmental Programme Governing Assembly, which is happening this very month. Paula, thank you very much for your time, and we wholeheartedly support your efforts. Paula Kahumbu, Executive Director of Wildlife Direct, and you can find a link to Paula's website at ours.